flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
205 DGS on KMOX. Michael Kelly's going to be here momentarily, hanging out with us in Rachel's absence. Rach will be back on Monday. Janelle will be here to talk about movies. The Oscar nominations came out today. She'll be here at 3 p.m. Do you guys think it's kind of bad form to even have the Oscars this year?
Because of the fires?
Because of the fires.
You know, I've heard from L.A. people that they want, I don't want to say, like, not necessarily normalcy, but they want events. They want, you know, because the Oscars bring a lot of jobs with it. It brings, you know, building the stage. It brings catering. It brings waiting. It brings, you know, ushers and stuff. They want those jobs to come back to L.A. That's part of why they're pushing so hard for so many movies to now be shot in L.A. because their economy needs those jobs to kind of rebuild itself. So I would say I think it's good.
Yeah, you should do a subdued version, though. Maybe ramp it down on the big style showings and all that.
This will probably
make it a fundraiser.
This will probably make me a bad guy or make people think I am, but most people will go like, I feel you. I dread the self-importantism.
Oh, man.
That will come along with the Oscars. There's been tragedy. There's been loss of life. There should be acknowledgement. There should be thoughts and prayers and all that, but you just know that they're going to Hollywood it up.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
I mean, they're literally actors. They definitely are used to giving performances.
Is this your favorite weekend of football, or was it one of the previous weeks?
No, because the Lions lost. Not anymore. Well, now it's done. No, these are good games. I'll look forward. I'll watch them and have a good time with it. I still like this. I'm trying to think of the best, you know, the best week. My favorite week might be like week one of the season, where you're just like, all right, don't know what anybody is. Don't know. Let's start to find out. But this is probably the best one in terms of it's the Super Bowl, except you have two games that are of that level, right? Because these are all Super Bowl caliber teams. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that part is essentially the best part. You know, these teams over the course of the whole season have proven themselves. They have earned this spot here, and you know they are, as of now, the best of the best that are remaining. So having two rather than one makes it better from a pure, like, full-day standpoint. But, I mean, the Super Bowl is still better because ultimately that's the one that decides it.
And who do you like?
Tonight, this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you go against the Chiefs. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The referees.
They keep finding a way.
Referees wear red, so. No, I'm kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I just said that for Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the Chiefs. They always seem to find a way. Nothing against Buffalo. Buffalo's dangerous, man. I mean, that game is not a gimme, but the Chiefs always figure it out in the fourth quarter. They always find a way. I kind of like the Eagles in the other one, but I don't love it. Washington's good, man. They're a threat. Jaden Daniels is the real deal. And, you know, he has been that way all season long. And Philadelphia is not the greatest passing team, but obviously, you know, they're here because they can run the ball both with their quarterback and with Saquon Barkley. So I like Philly, but I don't think it's a lock.
Was I reading clickbait today about the Dodgers maybe making a play for Arenado and moving Muncy to second base?
I wouldn't call it clickbait, because they can do whatever they want. Some of this is coming from, I don't know who put that out there, so I don't know what source they were using. But some of the speculation around Arenado has been that some of these teams might re-engage if the Cardinals are willing to take more money, like eat more money, which is what has always been the case, right? Like
how much are we talking?
Well, so as an example, like it was reported earlier that other teams have had interest in him, but not when the Cardinals were asking them to take more of the money. And I've been saying since the beginning of the offseason, the more money you will eat, the easier it will be to move him, and the more you can actually get something in return. And everybody knows that because everything in a trade right now is about a sliding scale of how much the player costs, and that, you know, the more he costs, the less you get back. And the more he costs, the less likely a team is going to be to want to take him. So he's owed $74 million. 10 of that's already covered by the Rockies, so it's $64 million for 3 years is what he's owed. And there are some complications with deferred money and things, but those things can be sorted out. So if you're willing, if you want somebody to take most of that, which is apparently what Houston was going to do, Houston was going to take the vast majority of that 64
and just not give us much.
And you're not going to get right. You're not going to get anything in return. But Arenado turned that deal down, and Houston moved on. If you're willing to eat half of that, if you're willing to eat 32 of the 64. And make it so that the team that's getting him is only paying him $10 million a year. Well, now all of a sudden that team's like, that's a really valuable player. His defense alone is $10 million. And if he hits, holy crap, we're winning the lottery essentially. But that means, of course, that you're going to save less because the whole point of moving him is to save salary. It's most of the point because you want to clear up more at-bats for some of your younger guys to have opportunities to play. But if you did that, you might actually get something in return that you'd be like, all right, in a couple of years, that guy might help us. Maybe it's a single-A guy who throws 98 who doesn't have command right now, and it's a lottery ticket. Maybe it's a 20-year-old guy who's blocked in the current system that he's in. But you might get something valuable back if you're willing to do that. And from the beginning of this offseason, when it first started being reported that the Cardinals were going to do a reset and maybe trade off guys like Arenado, I said that I would much rather pay more and get more, because that will speed up the process of getting back to being really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're essentially buying a young player for a certain amount of money, and you're going to have to eat some anyway. So why not eat a little bit more and get something that could be more valuable?
Switching topics, you know how we recently had a story, I forget who had it on their Google Doc, but basically that they're not seeing any adverse signs to kids having social media and phones and so forth. I just saw one today. It was on the front page of Drudge. They tested 13-year-olds, and this is like an actual medical study, and 37% of 13-year-olds, especially boys, showed increased aggression, sometimes uncontrolled aggression, from using their phones and social media, and 20% were hallucinating and disassociating from reality. That's all I got for you.
While using the phone or after?
I don't know the methodology.
Okay.
Yeah, I just know the headlines and read the article, but they didn't go into great detail on. Then we had them go into a room with their phone, and then they went to a room without their phone, just that the kind of use that 13-year-olds are using on average, 37% it led to aggression, 20% it led to disassociation.
It seems like a lot, but I would also, this is part of the reason, not this particular, but just anything that's extra exposure to people that are that young. It's one of the reasons why we waited until 13 or 14 to even get a cell phone for our kid. But A, you don't really need it before that. I mean, it's not necessary. I'm not saying anybody that has one is doing it wrong. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, in our view, it just wasn't necessary. But I can see in scenarios where it might be. If somebody plays sports and they're going to be off for 8 hours, and then, I'm picking you up, so I'll call me when you're ready or whatever. Like, I get it. There are scenarios where that makes sense. But unlimited access to whether it's TikTok, Twitter, whatever, when you're young, unlimited access to anything. I mean, like, just think of it this way. If you spent that much time just watching TV or just playing video games or just doing anything that's a distraction, you're probably going to have negative results of some kind.
Mm.
Right? I mean, I think it's the next step in that generation. Because in my generation, it was the latchkey kids sitting at home and watching TV too much, and it's all they did, right? You sit there and you watch TV for 3 or 4 hours after school. And there was and that's part of what people felt like, okay, well, that's leading to some of the obesity epidemic. That's leading to other behavioral problems, people not going outside, things along those lines. I think this just sounds like it's kind of the next step in that same chain where you don't want to do anything too much. And when you have that thing in your pocket all the time, it's easy to be doing it all the time.
Do you think there's a big difference, Andrew, between being on your phone all the time or playing catch all the time?
Yeah, I do. Primarily the incredible levels of stimulation that come with being on your phone. That's kind of what I would, that's the first thing that I would think of as the big difference, right? If you're on your phone all the time, you know, when I'm on my phone, I will catch myself having the most insane, like, media habits, right? Like, I will check one app, immediately flip to another app, immediately flip back to the other app, knowing that there would be nothing new to see, having just looked at it, compulsively flip to a third app that I had just looked at, and you know what I mean? Like, I just cycling through in this insane way.
Basically,
like that.
That, you know, they did the famous studies with babies and mobiles that hang, and it didn't take very long for them to get tired of a mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you replaced the items, it's no longer moons and stars, it's unicorns and dolphins, then they were engaged again. Like, mm-hmm. humans love novelty. And at least the only social media that I have is TikTok, and that's all about novelty.
Yep.
With
yeah.
one swipe of my thumb,
it's
I have something
thing.
Something stupid, something not edifying, something not healthy for me probably, but
new.
It's new.
You haven't seen it before.
I haven't seen it before.
And that's definitely the success of that, is that it is an obscene amount of stimulation. It's like the most stimulation humanly possible. I mean, you are every second, if you want, you are receiving a new unseen before piece of stimulation shot directly into your
and
brain.
And it's curious, like, what a brain doctor would say, because the brain is not evolved, and yet for the first time in the history of the human brain, it's being asked to recognize and catalog things at such a rate. Like, the brain doesn't know that the cow that's eating a bundt cake isn't really important to you. So it's setting up that connection in your brain when actually it's completely meaningless. You just wonder how much glut is just in there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but isn't it supposedly that we don't use most of our brain's capacity?
I don't know. I've always, like, they always say the 10%, but I've heard that's crap. That
yeah,
we
I think
do
the 10%
use it.
Is crap, but I mean, it seems like there's room, because every brain's different. There are some people's brains have room for a lot more than mine.
They're saying that anti-anxiety drugs, like what I take, make it difficult for your brain to do its cleaning at night. Which is interesting. Like, not saying this is why I'm off today, just not feeling it today. But yeah, your brain at night, dreaming and other through other facilities, cleans out the garbage. And so you wonder if social media somehow makes that harder, especially if you do it at night.
I'm trying to sort out why it being on your phone would be different than it being on your TV set.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
Unless proximity. You know, that if you roll over at 3 a.m, you may not click your TV on, but you can grab your phone, which thank God I never do.
Right.
And start scrolling.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can see it because you're carrying it with you during the day. So when right. you have a down minute, you pull out your phone, you're like, okay, I do that. I mean, I think we all do that.
Quick break, right back, DGS. Girl, Andrew was crapping on Rick Springfield. Now he's playing him twice in a row.
Good job, Andrew.
Hey, no, I'm not trying to disrespect the man. I love this song. I just thought his second song would sound different. Mm.
Do you really love the song?
And it didn't. Yes, it's a great song.
You're
going to
play it on your drive home?
I have. I'm not going to tonight because I just heard it twice.
Yeah.
I just heard
we're good.
I just heard 8 seconds of it twice. That's enough.
Coming up on the other side of the break at 2:30, look at me, I'm teasing. Hopefully Michael Kelly will be here by then, because I want to revisit, believe it or not, Snowgate and now Trashgate and Mayor Tashara Jonesgate. You're not going to believe when you hear what letter grade she gave the city on their response to the snow. Is going to piss you off.
Mm-hmm. Piss Kevin off.
I mean,
crazy. We'll talk about that at 2:30.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's something.
I guess not surprising, given how divided the country is, but a new survey, a CNN survey, says that 40% of people think that DEI is important. 48% think that DEI should go away completely.
Man, I am getting real tired of those three letters and just hearing them all the time. I don't think...
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I think that I really do think that that's the problem more than... I know that there are people who have... well thought out, factually based opinions on both sides. Mm-hmm. I believe that. It's a difficult, complicated topic. But I do think what you just said is 90% of it.
Yeah.
People who don't even know probably what it stands for, I have to remind myself sometimes, you just hear it so much. You're like, whatever that is, stop saying it.
Yeah. Can't we talk about something else? I'm just tired of anytime we have to hear about just one thing over and over again, it's like, can I stop hearing about this, please?
What do you guys make of Trump's undeniable busy first 3 days?
Scorched earth, man.
It's also not a Trump thing. I don't like it when it's Biden or Obama or Bush either. I just don't like how we're doing all this where one person's just got the power of the pen. Like, that's not really how it's all designed. Is supposed to be a process. And again, I know every president's been doing it now for 30, 35 years because nobody gets anything passed in the Senate or in the House or in Congress in general. So the only way to get anything done is by executive order. And the problem with that is it can just be undone by the next president with another executive order. And that's just kind of how we keep going back and forth.
Yeah.
And it surprises me that we don't learn, we being Americans, that anytime you gain a little advantage, you need to know that you just don't keep pounding people over the head with that advantage. Otherwise, eventually there's going to be a pushback. So the analogy I used was the whole woke thing, right? It ended up pissing people off to the point where they're like, all right, enough. I don't want to hear it anymore. Anything but that is what I want. Mm-hmm. And if you go down the same opposite path, you're going to get the same kind of pushback at some point too, 4 years down the road, whatever. And I'm surprised that people that end up in some position of power don't grasp that the balance is what's going to keep you in power. That when you go too far, either left or right, people push back. And it ends up working against you down the road. Not now, because now you got the power. But it's going to change again at some point. It always does. So why give it the fuel?
233 DGS on KMOX. I told you this one's going to make you mad. So the guys were just showing me pictures of trash that is just, it's hard to describe. Maybe we should just retweet the photo or something. But it's just so much trash coming out of the bins all over alleys, all over St. Louis, because we already weren't picking up the trash on 75 degree days, but once you get the snow and the ice down there, they're not picking up any trash, and it's just become absolutely ridiculous. We were just talking about the fact that we didn't have to come back Thursday and Friday, the 2nd and 3rd of January. We're going to come back on the 6th. That's when we got the snow, that weekend. So essentially, the entire time you've been listening to us in 2025, we've had this problem. That is embarrassing. That's not bad. That's not terrible. That is a stain on the city and a huge stain on the government. Mm-hmm. And Tashara Jones is in charge of the government. You wanted the job. You got the job. Have you fired the streets department lady yet? Have you fired that idiot who said, no one told me that the streets were bad? Does she own a television? Can you buy her a Vizio so that she can keep up like the rest of us? This is embarrassing. And then asking a podcast a few days ago what letter grade she would give the city's response to the snow.
Yeah, the podcast was recorded, I think, last week, and it was with St. Louis Public Radio. But asked about to grade the city's response, the mayor's response was, I give us a B-. I would say a B- was the answer that she gave. And then obviously making the excuses of, we're still understaffed on the streets department and we couldn't get the smaller trucks. And all right, but like, I am so tired of the explanation for something sucking being we're understaffed. Then find a way to be staffed.
Staff it.
If you have to pay people more, you have to find the budget. Like the explanation can't be, well, it's just never going to get done. Like that can't be the explanation. Mm. And you have other people who work for the city. When you have something like that, which is an unusually large weather event, maybe pull people from other parts of city jobs to do that part so that you can get it cleaned up. I mean, we saw on Twitter, was it yesterday, Dave, that we saw Sue Thomas showing her street?
Yes.
It's an ice rink.
My buddy Mike, who was our server last night at Cap Grill, does snow removal, and he's done it professionally now for a very long time. Hire him. Hire an army of Mikes to get out there and clear people's... Trish, the same thing. Trish almost couldn't get to do the show this week because where she lives in the city, it's still literally a rutted up ice rink.
I mean, it's...
Almost a month later.
It's 17 days later. Next Monday will be 3 weeks later.
But it's a B-.
But it's 17 days later.
I want her to grade me.
I mean, like... And I understand that one of the explanations... I don't remember who gave it, but one of the explanations for why they weren't going with the private... contractors is there are liability issues.
Yeah, there always are.
Well, dude, there are liability issues when people can't drive on their streets. There was a photo that we saw posted this weekend on Twitter of an ambulance that couldn't get down a street, so they had to get out and walk down the street to get to the person that made the call. I mean, that... And I understand, right? I understand we don't usually get snow like that. We all understand that, hey, Monday's going to be a mess. And it may take 2 or 3 days or whatever to kind of get back to normal. I think everybody's okay with that. You're going to be frustrated, but you get it. Because we're not built like Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo, whatever.
But I think people were exceedingly reasonable through
but
this.
But it's 17 days and there are alleys piled up with trash because the trash trucks can't get down the alley. How?
Don't you agree? I think we here on KMOX, out there in the general public... I think we've been really reasonable about our expectations. No one was making much noise the first week. Hey, big snowstorm. We got more snow than Minneapolis and Chicago. I get it. We're not either of those cities, but we're also not Miami.
Well, I also, again, getting back to the explanations, right? Understaffed was one. Another is we can't get the smaller trucks that we need to get down the side streets. Because I don't know why you can't they're not there, but there was some delay in getting them, whatever. So you can't pay people to put salt down, even if you're too worried about about plows and damage and liabilities. You can't pay people to put salt down.
Salt, Michael Kelly's
salt
here now.
Salt works when it's 35 degrees.
You look very sharp, by the way.
I was
you
in
must
a meeting.
Be working.
Oh,
I was, and I came back in, and I've been dealing with streets with snow cover.
Are you
dropping somebody off?
No.
In Tower Grove, the streets are still iced over.
In Tower Grove.
In Tower Grove, in the neighborhoods, not the main
right, right, but on the neighborhood streets, yeah.
But in the neighborhoods, and I saw the trash. I
literally just now.
Yeah, I saw the trash, and I've had friends of mine who've been telling me at nighttime they got animals and stuff getting into that trash.
Oh my God.
This is third world country stuff. And
well, we earned a B- from the mayor.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the mayor's used to being graded on a curve because that's ridiculous to say that this is B- work. If that's B-, that scares me. Look, I hear you guys. We're all hand-wringing about it. I don't think there's going to be any fixing it. I think they hope that it's going to warm up and that we're all going to forget about it. But don't forget, at the same time, they're asking you for more responsibility. They're asking you to approve this Rams money so that they can invest it in kindergartens and stuff where, you know, it's going to make these differences. These people literally can't pick up the trash and plow the streets. And the one sin I think the mayor is most guilty of is failure to communicate. And, you know, clearly incompetence runs rampant throughout the city, but to not communicate and to continue to gaslight us and tell us that everything's going well. You're down in Jefferson City saying, don't take away my police department. I can handle things well up here in the city of St. Louis. And then meanwhile, the greatest radio station on the planet's been documenting for over 3 weeks that we're not doing the basic services.
The other day when you were on and you did such a great rant, it was basically local government needs to be local. Stop worrying about Roe v. Wade and stop worrying about illegal immigration. You just fix the potholes. And I would agree with you when it comes to things like programs for kindergartners. I'm all for programs for kindergartners right after you fix the potholes.
Yeah.
Right after you can clear the streets.
Well, I just can't even believe we're having this conversation about what city government could do with this money. And they have very well-intentioned ideas, you know, to help young kids. Except they're the wrong people to do it. I mean, we would be better to take the $50 million and say, hey, so-and-so, we're going to pay you two of this $50 million to actually run us an effective program because we don't know how to find our with our hands.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And too many excuses about, like, what I keep saying this. It was right before you walked in, but, like, the explanations are always, well, we're understaffed. Okay, well, fix it.
Well,
fix it.
And at the same time, I don't know if you guys saw this article. Channel 4, I believe it did, or is Channel 4 or Channel 5? I mean, there's so many of these stories coming out, and I think I've told you that we're in a spiral. Every aspect of city government's failing. But it's come out that close to any given day in the city of St. Louis, 20% of the workers are on Family and Medical Leave Act.
600 in the same day.
Yeah, and so that was including the jail director, remember, when she was gone for 6 weeks, and the personnel director when she was gone for 6 weeks? It was because this unwritten policy that they've implemented in the city, this is not some law, this is something they've decided to do in the city. And so what you're saying when you're understaffed is, not only are we understaffed, but we're so poor at recruiting, we can't get people to come to a job that we were literally pay them for 6 weeks to not do anything.
Right. Aren't those being part of that story was some of those days are being used basically as vacation days.
Either
that or we're the sickliest workers in the county.
Yeah. I mean, it's just people are gaming the system. When the boss is away, the mice shall play. You know, this government is no different than a company. You have to be there. You have to have competent leadership. You have to have people that have measures for success, who have accountability for what's going to happen. We're seeing that this mayor doesn't have the ability to hold individuals accountable. She doesn't know where she's at half the time. And unfortunately, I think the people she's put in must have incompetence running in their veins, because you cannot witness what we just went through and have the mayor come out and say, I give myself or I give this city a B- on what's going on. I mean, it's just this is the same crowd that's trying to convince you that crime's going down. You have stats that tell me that crime is going down. I would like to believe you, but you also tell me that you did a really good job removing the snow and I still can't leave my neighborhood. So how am I supposed to believe you when you tell me that the crime stats are going down?
Amen. Amen, brother. Yeah. Quick break. Right back. DGS. More after this. You guys ever get surprised by your age? Like, about 6 months ago, I was watching TV, and it was an ad for one of those things you put your pills in, and it separates them into days. And I was like, well, that's a pretty handy little, oh, my God. Like, it really got me. And just last night, I was watching Howie Long do a commercial for the Skechers shoes that you step in because you're so old you can't bend over. And for the first time ever, I'm like, well, that's a pretty good invention. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
No, totally.
I can still put my shoes on, but when things start looking good to you.
Totally. I've had that experience recently as it related to, I don't know about, have you guys ever seen these, got back pain? Blah, blah, blah. You need a new mattress, you know, and all this stuff. Well, I got a back pain, and now I'm convinced I need a new mattress. That's what this is all about. I've never in my life
thought
I need to go get a new mattress. That's an old person thing, isn't it?
Sounds like it.
It wasn't that long ago that when I thought about somebody being 35, I was like, oh, they're like middle-aged. That's so old. And I was listening to a podcast this morning where they were talking about, they played a clip from Tucker Carlson, and somebody asked him, like, how old are you? And he was like, I'm 35. And I was like, 35, practically a baby. An infant, even.
But you're halfway to 70.
Yep. I sure am. Never thought about it like that.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks.
You just put that out there for you.
Never considered that one.
Andrew, were we the ones talking about it? Or Dave, was it us when we were talking about, like, Bryce Harper being 32 now, and it's weird because it wasn't that long
ago? Oh, he's 58.
But, like, I thought about it for the first time when we were talking about it. Like, man, you know what? Before too long, the young prospects that we see, we're going to be like, well, never going to see the end of his career.
That's depressing.
I know. I mean, we're nowhere near that yet, but it ain't going to be that long before you're like, well, I don't know if I'm going to see that.
But older is younger now than it used to be, right? Like, I remember when I was a kid, I remember when my parents and all of their friends turned 40. I remember that, and they had the over-the-hill party, like, birthday party, give them, like, you know, tombstones as gifts and, you know, old canes or whatever because they were so old or whatever. And now I just feel like people are 40 and, like, they're, like, still living at home with their parents. They're like...
And don't you want to know how they
do it? They're 40 and they're like, yeah, I'm just a kid.
I saw Paul McCartney on TV the other day. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're still able to do 3.5 hours straight. You still look like you're...
Amazing.
Yeah. Even if you have the greatest medicine and the greatest food in the world,
yeah,
you still have an 80-year-old frame out there for 3.5 hours.
It's got to be genetics, right?
And all these guys like him and Mick Jagger and Rod Stewart who just beat the hell out of their bodies.
Right.
And they're still the youngest 80-year-olds out there.
Yeah, none of them were like gentle on themselves.
Maybe just keep
when
moving.
They were in their 20s.
You know, it's funny. I see all these ads because, you know, people are – there are people that are – I don't want to say they're selling nonsense, but they're – selling alternatives to, you know, the healthcare system and things like that. And like, why were people so much healthier in the 70s? And like, they weren't. Where are you making that up? Nobody was healthier in the 70s. Everybody was smoking. Everybody was drinking. Nobody was working out. People that were 40 looked like they were 65. Have you ever seen the TV shows from the 70s? Archie Bunker was 5 years younger than I am right now when they were making that show. And he looks like my grandpa.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, nobody was better off in the 70s health-wise. What are you even talking about?
It feels like more people smoked than didn't in, like, the
70s. I don't think it was that, but it was definitely more.
Pretty close.
It was definitely more 50-50.
Wow.
I don't know how many.
Oh, I think it's way more than
that. You think
so? Yeah. At least anecdotally, every mom and dad I can think of in my childhood smoked.
Really?
I can't think of a single one who didn't.
My parents both did. They quit, like, in the late 80s, I think. But they did when they all, like, all their whole... childhoods
and
young adulthood.
Chain smoked in the house, get in the car, light up, smoking restaurants.
So
that was the worst.
I don't know how accurate this is. I'm going to try to find a little bit better source, but it sounds like about 40% of Americans smoked in the 70s.
Here's what I don't get as
well. That's a lot.
Just, I'll use smoking as an example, but it really could go for anything. Why are we so stupid that we just don't learn other than through our own hard lessons, right? Like when you're 14 and you light up your first cigarette, if there were a 75-year-old guy there with a hole in his throat that he's talking through and he said like, hey, you know where this leads? You get addicted to it. You smell. No one wants to be around you. You're going to spend thousands and thousands of dollars and you'll end up dying of this at some point in your 60s or 70s. You would think that even a 14-year-old kid, certainly a 25-year-old person could go, well, I don't want that. I think I'll not do it. And it goes for so many things. It just like there's so many things. We have these places. They're called libraries. And they're full of the compendium of human knowledge. And we just don't even care. We're just watching people flip omelets in their lids. And like if we just listen to them for a couple of minutes, we could avoid most of life's major missteps. And look, I am chief among us. I've had so many people give me great advice. I'm like, you know what, Ace? I'm going a different way. And just led me down into the toilet every single time. But why are we so dumb? Why can't we learn from other people's mistakes?
Well, I guess we due to a certain extent, and we overlearn. Like, I don't know if this happened to you guys, but I remember there were six of us when we were growing up. My parents had a Suburban, and when they would drive us around, there were no car seats. There were no seat belts.
I remember
sitting on the armrest, you know? And just the other day, I was helping pack my little nephew, who's like 2 or 3 years old, into a car. And you would have thought this guy was going to be sent to China. Yeah, and with the packaging and all the nonsense they put up. So the same people who used to let us like ride on the, you know, standing up.
You guys used to ride on the back thing on the rear view window?
Yeah.
Never get up there?
Did it all.
The wheel well in the back of a truck?
Yeah.
Could you imagine? I mean, but the same people who did that, who allowed us to do that, are the ones who are now like, you know, let me rub you in bubble wrap.
Yeah. That's crazy. You know, it's funny that I think, Dave, what it shows is how much short-term reward matters to us.
Hmm.
Right?
Hmm.
Like, you're getting that short-term reward, whether it's the nicotine hit or the reward of not going out and running for 25 or 30 minutes or not getting on the treadmill or whatever. The reward of the moment still wins for a lot of people. Not everybody, clearly, but it still wins for more than you would think. Because the long term, you're looking at it, it's just so far away. And it may or may not happen, and it may or may not get here. I mean, I get hit by a truck tomorrow could be, you know, is part of that psychology. But it shows how strong the desire is for the immediate reward in our brain.
Are we just giant babies?
Sure.
Like, have we just, our generation or the one above and below us, have we just become so incredibly soft? And I know that we say that about every generation, but maybe it's true about this one.
I don't think we're any softer than any previous generation.
Do you think if we got hit with something, we could respond the way the greatest generation did?
100%.
Hmm.
100%. Because I can promise you that before that, their generation, the generation before them, thought they were a bunch of softies.